Yesterday, my wife and I babysat for Pastor Adam and Laura, who are over at The Point. And I love their kids because they're so well-behaved. But yesterday, I had a feeling that I had never had before. Absolute fear and terror. And the reason is because I started thinking, like, well, what if these kids run away, or what if they burn down the house, or what if one of them kills the other one? Like, how do I deal with that? At one point, their son, who's about three, just turned three, he climbed up the stairs. Not the part that you walk on, the part that's outside to where if you get up high enough, you fall down and you die, okay? And then their daughter, who's just turned a year old, she has a giant head. They know that, so this is not an insult. But she has this big head, and she's always clonking it around on different things. And so she was crawling around on our floor, and our house is not baby-proofed. I mean, we don't have children. And she comes up to the corner of our coffee table, and she gets this close to being impaled by the side of our table. And I'm freaking out, and I looked at my wife, Amy, and I said, hey, we need to get like a room that's just padded for these children, so they can't ever hurt anything or hurt themselves, right? And I was thinking, oh my gosh, if I feel this way about these kids, what's it going to be like when I have children, right? I'm going to put them in a bubble so they can't hurt anyone, they can't be hurt by anyone, and it's because I am fearful. I don't want my kids to be hurt. I don't want them to experience some of the things that I've experienced. And I've seen this with parents. They become overprotective of their children. And suddenly, they're guarding their kids from absolutely everything to where their kids aren't really even living. Their kids aren't taking any risks. Their kids aren't being courageous at all. They're just sitting at home. And that is no way to live. That is no way to exist. You cannot live inside a bubble. The other day, Pastor Rich and I went to a pastor's gathering, which we do once a month, and we usually enjoy it, but I overheard a conversation that made me really uncomfortable. One pastor asked another couple pastors, they said, how's your church doing? And one of them responded by saying, well, we can still pay the light bill. And then the other one said, we open the doors and people still show up. Are you kidding me? Is that how you're going to measure it? Is that what you want to be known as? The church that was, well, they were always there. They always had their lights on, not always the heat, but they always had their lights on. And I got in the car with him and I said, what is the matter with these churches? Why are so many churches dormant? Why are they just sitting there? What do I mean by dormant? Like right now, my grass is dormant. It's alive, but it's not growing. It's alive, but it doesn't look like it does in the summer. And so many churches out there are dormant. They're waiting inside their well-manicured churches for people to come in, for people to somehow revert back to the early 20th century mindset where church was at the center of the world and come back through the doors, but they're not willing to do anything to get them back through the doors. They want the world to be transformed to Christianity, but they're not willing to do anything outside of their church walls. That is dormancy. These churches, they want to do something, they want to see something happen, but they're not willing to take a risk with what they already have. They won't use what's already there. That's dormancy. But it's not just churches that experience that. It's Christians. I heard of a statistical principle a while back called the 80-20 rule, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work and everyone else does nothing. And I found that to be true at every single church I've gone to. And when I present that, people are very troubled. And they say, well, that can't be true. And then I show them the numbers, I show it to them in the church, and they say, well, this has to change. And then they don't do anything. Because it's this weird phenomenon where people want to scathe through life, where people want to play it safe. And so they raise their kids, they work, and eventually they hope to have enough money for retirement, and then they retire and then they die. If that's what you want for your life, if that's the schedule that you're keeping, you are taking steps in the wrong direction. You are not going where God wants you to go, and that is a darn shame. But why is it? Why is it that courageous people, because I would say that all of us in here have at one time been on fire, have at one time been courageous, whether that was a kid or maybe just last year, and now something has changed. And as I thought about that over the last couple days, what is it that causes people to become dormant? I realized it's fear. It's a fear of rejection, a fear of failure, maybe even a fear of success. And I realize that we start to ask a lot of questions. For instance, I mean, when I feel that God is pushing me in a certain way and I want to go towards it, I stop and I say, what if? And then I don't end up doing anything. See, one of my biggest problems that I struggle with as a pastor is fear. I always ask, what if? What if I say something that makes people mad? Maybe I don't ask that question enough. What if I get on to a youth upstairs for disrespecting someone or for disrespecting me and they never come back to youth group? What if one of you are living a contrary life to Scripture and I come to you and I say, hey, this is not what God desires for you, and you say, okay, and just leave, and you never come back to this church? What if I throw out a big idea of something that I want to see happen here and it's just gets rejected? What if we do something really big as a church and we succeed? Oh my gosh, what happens next? Or what if we do something and it's a big flop? See, if I let my fear drive everything I did, I would sit in my office all day and I would write the most boring sermons in the world because I wouldn't want to offend any of you, and I certainly wouldn't want to light a fire under your seat because that would mean that I would have to do something as well. It results in dormancy. See, dormancy results from fear and then results in laziness. We become lackadaisy based off of fear. How many of you have lived by the what ifs of your life? I'm not saying that all the time that what ifs are bad. I mean, sometimes you need it for strategy. If you're going to war, you need to say, what if they do this? What if they do that? If you're going to make a financial decision in your life, you need to say, what if? But if your what ifs start to cause you to move towards inaction or playing it safe or not taking risks, then you are not living the life that God has set in front of you. And that may sound harsh, but hear this, that God formed you in your mother's womb out of love, okay? He formed you in your mother's womb. He knows how many hairs are on your head. God has a purpose for each one of you. And so if you're playing it safe throughout your life, if you're taking everything that God has given you and you're hoarding it to yourself saying, I just want to play it safe, then you are living for yourself and no one else. Not for the glory of God, just for yourself. And that is not what God desires from Christians. And when we start to understand that, when we start to realize that God does not desire us to be dormant, then we can start to understand the gospel lesson for today. A master brings three servants before him. You might look at them as financial planners. And he gives them each a bit of money, and he says, take care of this until I come back. And so the first two, they work it out well. They're like traders in a 2,000-year-old Wall Street, maybe you'd say, trading sand rather than coffee. And they make out pretty well. They double what they have. But the third guy buries the money that was given to him out of fear. And so their boss comes back and he asks each one, you know, what have you done? And he rewards them accordingly. And then he gets to the last guy and he says, what have you done? And the guy digs up the money and he hands it to him and he says, this is yours. And he says some harsh words. He said, you are an evil and lazy man. The story could easily be summed up by this. You can take a risk or not, but if you don't, you are liable to lose everything. See, God has entrusted each one of you. He's entrusted me with a lot of stuff. A lot of talents and abilities, money, whatever you want. And if you live life to where you're hoarding all of that to yourself, you are not living according to the purpose which God has given to you. Why? Because you're too afraid. That's not what God desires. Let me ask you this. How many of you are living courageously? Or how many of you are just dormant? Do you love courageously in your marriage, or do you just do enough to avoid divorce? Do you raise your kids courageously, or do you just do enough so that you don't strangle them at the end of the day? Do you go to work and do you work courageously trying to shine the light of Jesus into your workplace, or do you go in, work, and clock out? Do you live courageously in church? Do you help us in our mission to connect people to Jesus, to grow in faith, and to serve our community? Or do you come here once a week for an hour just so you can check it off your list? Make grandma happy. How are you living? One of the first stories I heard when I came here was about a guy named Mike Grebe. I'm sure some of you know him. Mike died in August of 2015 from colon cancer. And from what I've heard from so many individuals is that Mike did not let cancer get in the way of the mission he believed that God put before him. Dave Larson, who's also a member here, he was close friends with Mike, and he told me a story that when he started to realize that Mike wasn't going to make it, he had a very frank conversation with him. And he said, "Mike, when you die and you go and meet Jesus, he's going to say, 'Welcome home. Because of your faith in me, you have life.' But what if he follows that up with, 'Hey, I kind of told you how much time you had left. What did you do with it to glorify me?'" And the conversation ended, and Mike came back a couple days later and said, "Dave, what you said to me was pretty harsh, but I've been thinking about it." And he handed Dave a card, a Grebe cancer card. And on the front it said, "Mike Grebe, stage 4 colon cancer," and something else. But on the back it said, "I'm dying of cancer, but I'm not afraid, because I know Jesus Christ and I know his promise of eternal life. If you have questions, ask me." That is a life lived courageously when everyone would expect dormancy. Or Pastor Jim Roberson. I got to meet him when I first got here. He was a retired Army chaplain, and I'm an Air Force chaplain, so it was great. I got to take him a communion one last time before he died. But when I was sitting in there in the nursing home with him, he was sitting in a wheelchair. His legs hadn't worked in quite a while. And he said, "Young man," I'm young man to everybody, "Young man, when I was your age, I used to go to the nursing homes, and I used to think, what on earth would I do with my life if I ended up in here? Would God take away my purpose?" And he said, "And then I wound up here. I thought, well, God has to have a plan for me somehow." And so he started a Bible study with 3 people. And by the time he died, it grew to 35 people. That even in nursing care, even close to death, he knew that Jesus Christ had a purpose for his life. Let me tell you this right now, that you each have a purpose. You each have a purpose. Galatians 3:27 says that those who were baptized have put on Christ. Do you know what that means? It means it's not you who live, it's Jesus Christ who lives in you. So if you have this fear, say, I don't care about the fear, because I know one who created the heavens and the earth. I know the one who created me. I know one who holds the world in the palm of his hand. And because of him, I will not be afraid. And I will not sit here dormantly as life passes me by, not taking risks, because it's the safe thing to do. That is not what God desires for you. Amen? Amen. That is not what God desires for you. Because God loved you so much that he sent his only son in the world. And that son, Jesus Christ, faced death courageously to bring a message of hope to a broken and fallen world. And for those of us who were baptized into his death and his resurrection, we are given that mission to take it out wherever. So you can fear, you can live life by fear and never go past those doors and say anything because you're afraid that you're going to offend somebody. But I'll tell you what, I fear one who created the heavens and the earth. I don't fear anyone out there. I can't. What is fear causing you to not do? Is your fear causing you to live dormantly as life passes you by? Are you just scathing through this life? Stop it. Live. Take what God has given you and use it for his glory. One of my favorite sayings from Martin Luther is you are saved by faith alone, but faith never comes alone. Faith is not dormant. Faith is not silent. Faith is not full of inaction. Faith is living. Faith does. Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.